Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of Allah be unto us all. Welcome to today's program. Today, inshallah, we are going to look at counting the favors of Allah unto us. I'll be reading from the Holy Quran, chapter number 14. Actually, there are two verses here. This one is taken from chapter 14, verse 8. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa idh ta'adhana rabbukum la in shakartum la azidannakum. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And the next verse is from the same chapter, but then verse number 35. That is chapter 14, verse 35. It also reads, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. So as I said, today we are discussing counting the favors of Allah unto us. And the verses recited, the first one, as I read, is from chapter number 14, verse 8. The translation is this. Allah says, and remember also the time when your Lord declared, that is He, Allah, declared that if you are grateful, I will surely bestow more favors on you. But if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe indeed. The next verse, or the other verse that I read, also translates as this. And He gave you all that you wanted of Him. And if you try to count the favors of Allah, you will not be able to number them. Verily, man is unjust and very ungrateful. Now, with a quick review of the two verses, you would find something here which has to do with ungratefulness nature of human being. That is, in verse number 8 of chapter 14, Allah the Almighty says, but if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe. Then in this verse, verse 35, Allah the Almighty also, here He says categorically that man, that is human beings in general, are unjust and very ungrateful. When we read the Holy Quran, there are many places that Allah the Almighty reminds us. He reminds us of our duty towards Him, basically the duty to worship Him. And in the Holy Quran, He says that is the main reason why He created us. And also from the previous scriptures, this duty that we owe to Allah the Almighty has been emphasized many, many times. But then several verses in the Holy Quran remind us to be grateful to Allah the Almighty, to reflect upon the favors of Allah the Almighty unto us, and also worship Him. I have personally come across a lot of people who, during discussions with them, they find it very difficult to know even why God the Almighty created them, and then also find it very difficult as to why they should worship God the Almighty. And if you look at some of these, I mean, the reasons that they add as to why they find it difficult to worship Allah the Almighty, among them is that their life is not going as they wished or they wanted. And for that matter, they kind of don't see what Allah has given them, for which reason they have to worship Him. So to summarize it, there are people living today who count the favors that God has given them as condition to worship Him. And according to them, if they don't find any of such favors in their lives, then to them, there is no need to worship God the Almighty. It is for this reason that I want us to look at this topic and see what we can do, how best we can think and reflect on the favor that Allah the Almighty has bestowed on us, that we need to first be grateful for, as he has said that if we are grateful, he will definitely give us even more. So once we understand those favors and we show gratitude to Allah the Almighty for having given us those, it opens more avenues, more doors and opportunities for us to even get more, those that we never even expected. But then as we continue to enjoy them, we should not forget the purpose of our creation, that is to worship God and Him alone. I have selected some basic things that we see that, inshallah, getting to the end, we will take a critical look at them and try to quantify them if possible. Of course, the second verse, Allah the Almighty says, if we try to count His favors, we would never be able to number them. But then we will try to highlight few of them, those that we can easily collect. And also think about them. Perhaps they might set the basis for us to understand and also cherish what Allah has done in our lives. As I was saying that in the beginning, if you ask people, sometimes people count the amount of money they have either with them or the quantity of property they have. They use this to determine whether God has shown favors to them or not. But if you look at this standard that people use to calculate whether Allah has shown them favors, you come to know that these are standards that we have set for ourselves. These are not standards that God set for us. It is what we, based on our limited understanding of the world we live in, and even in most cases, the purpose that we are here for, we set certain standards for ourselves. And we use these standards, unfortunately, to judge how favorable Allah has been to us and how merciful Allah the Almighty has been to us. We forget that there are people that those things that we want, that we think that once we get them, we'll be able to say that, yes, I have had it all, and God has been favorable to me, or God has shown me mercy. There are people who may have those things that we are eyeing for, but then they also lack the things that we have. I have, again, come across a lot of people, some who are well-to-do. If you visit the hospitals and you see people who are driven to the hospitals in luxurious vehicles, that most of the people may be eyeing those vehicles that they thought that if they got them, then of course their standard of life has improved. People will be driven to the hospital in these vehicles, and they are not even able to walk. As soon as those vehicles arrive, quickly they either get them wheelchairs, put them in the wheelchairs. And some of them cannot even sit. Some have to be, put on stretchers and be towed away. Now, the question is, if they are given the opportunity to lose those things that they have, which most of us count as the blessings of Allah in our lives, if they are given the opportunity at that very moment to exchange those things with the life that we have, they would never think twice about it. They would quickly switch or, swap it. to have good health and let go everything. So sometimes the very things that we may not value are the very things that people who are not in our position actually love so much. And that is human nature. We never cherish what we have until we begin to lose it. We have always taken for granted the freedom that we have, even the freedom to move. I don't see how many of us would calculate it as part of God's mercy and God's favor unto us. Being able to walk or drive, go to your workplace and come back, we take it as normal. These are, you know, normal things that everybody does it. So if I'm able to get up, walk and go to my workplace and come back, what new? Of course, I go and I work, I put in efforts and this and that. But then there are times in our life that Allah the Almighty uses certain basic things to show us that those things that we take for granted are things that we should be mindful of and give thanks for. We know during some 2 years, 3 years ago, we all went through a state of lockdown where no matter how rich a person is, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how influential you are, you are not allowed to step out at your free will. And as we speak now, there are people who have cases in court that they are still fighting for. They are facing prosecution because they went out, they walked out, or they drove, they attended events which under normal circumstances, we think they are very normal thing to do that we don't even count. So Allah the Almighty uses some of these things to teach us that, look, these things that you take for granted, if I take it from you, you will now come to appreciate the value of those things that you don't even count as God's blessings in our lives. Now, should we get to this point when those things that are important in our lives, those things that make us go and come, those things that when we have, we are considered among the living, should we wait until those things are taken from us before we begin to cherish them? For the believer, Allah the Almighty reminds us in the Holy Quran many, many times that the believers and those who possess understanding are those who reflect on the favors of Allah and never take those favors for granted. The Holy Quran warns us in many verses also never to rely on this world, because as the Holy Quran places it, it describes this world as sports and pastime. That is almost like a play that we are staging here. So we should never let this world deceive us. We should never rely on this world, because we would never live here with this world. We will leave and leave it behind. Just like people before us left it and we came to inherit, we would also leave it. For the believer, the second verse that I recited, verse 35 of chapter number 14, Allah the Almighty says, He has given us everything, all the things that we actually needed of Him. Even before we came into this world, the very moment our mothers brought us into this world, Allah the Almighty had prepared what we are going to eat. If at that time we are not able to eat, at least the breast milk that would give us both water and all the nutrition that we needed, Allah the Almighty had made arrangement for it. That was the basic thing that we needed that time. There are people who go outside that comfort and have imposed certain lifestyles on themselves. They rely on some kind of expensive baby feed or baby food for the children or for the babies, even though they have the capability of breastfeeding these children. And then I have seen several instances where some of these parents, they find it very difficult even to make ends meet, at least to go and buy those things, those very things. Meanwhile, Allah the Almighty had given thee for free, that when the child comes, in some cases initially, it will be very difficult for the mother to breastfeed, but then within few, you know, minutes and hours, the whole thing begins to be flowing. So Allah the Almighty has never forgotten about us. He gives us those things that in His wisdom we need so that we'll be able to live comfortably in His estimation and understanding, not in our calculation. Because sometimes what we think is comfort actually do not represent comfort. There are some lifestyles that we have imposed on ourselves, and as a result of which, we are battling a lot of diseases, cancer, diabetes, and a lot of preventable diseases. These are not things that God Almighty has set for us as the basic. We went ahead or we went overboard and tried to either adjust ourselves with the lifestyle of some people and then ended up in those situations. As I said, I have listed some few items that once we begin to go through them, we will understand how we have imposed certain lifestyles on ourselves, for which reason we find it very difficult to be thankful to Allah, to be grateful to God the Almighty. As I said, Allah the Almighty says we should not let this world deceive us, because we would never be able to move an inch with this world. There is one hadith, very beautiful hadith. And by the hadith, we refer to the holy sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, if Adam's son, or if the son of Adam were to have a valley full of gold, he would like to have two valleys, for nothing fills the mouth of the son of Adam except dust. Usually, when we refer to the son of Adam, we're referring to all of us who are, you know, progenies of Adam. And he says, basically, a human being, if a human being were to have a huge valley full of gold, the next moment, we'll be looking for another valley full of gold. And it is true. He says, the only thing that can fill the mouth of the son of Adam is dust. That is when a person is dead and dust has filled the mouth, that he cannot even open the mouth again to say, I need more. That is the time that he says the son of Adam will feel content. If you meet a person on the street today and you ask the person, what do you think when you get your life will be complete according to your estimation? Everybody would have their own selections. Our choices would differ. One, based on where we live. Two, based on what we see. Three, based on what we have been brought up, you know, to. Now, let us give everybody those things that we might mention in full, and then come back next week and ask again, what else do you think if you get your life will be comfortable for you? The fact is that I know it and you know it and we all know it. The fact is that as soon as you get what you think you want, your standard changes drastically. Now you set a new standard for yourself. Your taste also changes. And you begin to look beyond those things that you have, which you have used almost like a week. So it goes to say that, yes, the son of Adam would never be content. No matter what a person is given, we will still be looking for more. Meet a person who is working and ask him, what does he need? Being polite, he might say, I need a bicycle. Because if you give him even a motorbike, he might not be able to get fuel to just power it. So he might say, I need a bicycle. Get him a bicycle. Let him begin using the bicycle for at least a month. It is the very time that he will begin to feel the kind of energy he uses or she uses to paddle the bicycle. And of course, he might pass by somebody who is using a motorbike. and be thinking that at least if I got a motorbike, that will be very much okay for me. Get him the motorbike and let it rain and have some drizzles of water or rain on him or her. The next time he'll be thinking of, if I get a small size vehicle, I think that is going to be okay for me. Get him that small size vehicle and let him get to a small flooded area that he sees, I mean, 4x4 passing, then the taste changes. If I get 4x4, possibly, I will be able to surmount all the natures of road. That is the human nature. Even if you give him or her private jet, still he'll be looking for more. If that is not the case, people that we count as billionaires, millionaires, would never be asking for more. Recently, we were given the news of a billionaire who bought one popular social media platform. And with the kind of money these individuals have, you would think that once they buy them, they might just give it out for free. Irrespective of how much billions they had, they also tried to put extra fee on certain things that were even free on those apps. So who told us that once you get what you are looking for, our lives will be comfortable, or we would think our life is fulfilled? Allah the Almighty says He's given us the basic standards. Allah is not saying we should be idling without going to work. Allah is not saying that we should not wear clothes. Allah is not saying we should not eat good food. But then there is a basic that He set for us that if we work within that, we'll be grateful. There's one hadith also from the sayings of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, in order to be grateful, we should always look at those who are below us. You might be thinking, who is below you? There are people who are below the standard that you don't value. If you think it is not the case, leave your door opened, go out and come in this circumstance, and you find out truly that, yes, there are people who are below you who need those things that you have. The fact that you lock your door, no matter which kind of door you lock, the fact that you lock it shows that there are people who need or who want what you have. And for that reason, we have to be grateful by looking at them so we see what Allah have done in our lives. In the Holy Quran again, there is one other verse in chapter number 2 where Allah the Almighty says, O ye men, basically, ye men here refers to mankind, men and women, females and males, included. Worship your Lord who created you and those who were before you, that you may become righteous. He says, who? That is God, your God, Allah, who made the earth a bed for you and the heaven as a roof and caused water. In this case, causes water to come down from the clouds and therein brought forth fruits for your sustenance. Set not up, therefore, equals to Allah while you know. When I say Allah the Almighty has given us some standards, I know that some people might be thinking that what is he saying? This standard that, is set for us might be too low. But the question is, those people who were before us, did they have this standard that we have set for ourselves? The answer completely will be no. These are standards that we have created for ourselves. And I can assure us that in the next 100 years, those who come after us, their standards will be different from what we consider today as our standards. So we cannot use a particular standard to show or to determine that Allah the Almighty has been great, merciful to us. It is only when you stick within the standard of Allah, which He has described in many places in the Holy Quran. Here He talks about food for your sustenance. You have some roof, you have some bed, you have something to eat. Allah the Almighty describes it as a means of sustenance. I believe we know of this story, and based on some of the examples I gave, the examples kind of, fit into that story already. But I believe we know of the story of the man, that man who thought that nothing was happening for him, so he was going to end his life. He climbed a tree to tie a rope, hang himself. But then before that, he had some, a shirt that he felt that this shirt was nothing to write home about. So he threw it down there. And while he was busy tying the rope, somebody was shirtless, without any shirt, passing by and found that shirt. The person was so grateful to God for having given him that shirt from nowhere in the midst of the jungle. Now, the person who thought that life wasn't going well and was going to kill himself, when he observed the situation underneath the tree, how the person was so grateful for his shirt that he thought was nothing, he changed his mind, ordered the person to leave the shirt alone because I'm coming for it, and never tried to, take his life again. This might look to be an ordinary story, but I tell you, it is something that is likely to have actually happened. Now let's look at the human body. I want us to look at those things that we see visibly. There are many things that if I am to introduce us to, I believe some of us may be feeling sleepy because it is so complex that I don't think any human being can understand it. We can only have just a few, some kind of, a gist of it. But I want us to look at some of the basic things that we see. If we begin to describe ourselves, we might start from the top of our head to our feet. Now let's begin to count along with me some of the blessings that or the favors Allah the Almighty has given us, which sometimes we take for granted, beginning with the hair. You see, the human hair plays a vital role in the way we describe beauty. But then Allah the Almighty has given every race, every geographical location, the type of hair that is fitting for them based on the temperature and all other factors. So if we were to live by this standard Allah the Almighty has set for us, we would never be eyeing or we would never be spending on hair, because in the wisdom of God, He has given us what is suitable for us within our circumstance and our environment. Now here comes the standards that we set for ourselves and blame God for not giving us enough to meet those standards that we have set for ourselves. If we look at men, most men don't cherish the hair that much. So right from childhood, we keep cutting, and there are some of us who would cut it even too low. You cut, in some most cases, you go and pay even to cut it. But then there are, in terms of women, the hair also plays a vital role in the way they see, their definition of beauty. So they would try as much as possible to have it more. Of course, as the hadith says, the son of Adam, or in this case, the daughter of Adam, would want to have more and more and more. Now, if we look at the human hair business, the human hair industry, those people who think that their hair is not good enough for them, and they need certain style, certain hairstyle, which are not for their climate, which is not for their environment. If I believe the ladies amongst us know how much people spend to buy hair. I did a few price check, and you'll be surprised to know, for the men amongst us, I believe we know it already, so sometimes we might not be too much surprised. But then let's look at this here. So here says, I did the small search about the human hair industry with 2023 in mind. So the value of human hair exported from India increased from $34 million in 2018-2019 to $169 million in 2022-2023. In between, the export of human hair declined to 5 million, that is in 2019, I think during the COVID time. So the question among the men, of course, is that why do they need all these hairs? We're looking at millions. And this is only from one country, but we know that it is not only in India that the human hair is sought from. We have the Brazilian hair, which some people describe as the top notch of it. And we look at the cost of some hair that some of our sisters or some women use, and you ask yourself, who introduced this to us? Who gave us this burden? Did Allah not give us sufficient hair enough to match our beauty? Here on the screen, these are hairs that are being sold here in Jamaica, right here. Human hair. Here you have one which is 38,000 Jamaican dollars. It is being sold. If you look at here, if you can see closely, five people have viewed already. It was posted 11 hours ago. This one is 26 inches and it is 20,000, some 18,000, some. And you look, you ask ourselves, why this? You go to Amazon, see here, human hair, US dollars. Now the question is, those people, those places that this hair is, you know, sought from, the very people who go and have their hairs cut are those that are considered poor. In most cases, very, very poor. In some cases, who maybe according to our standard, hygienically, might not even fit within our description of hygiene. But then these are the people who go to cut off their hair. Some do it as ritual, religious requirement. They go and cut it, and then it is packed, bagged, and then sent abroad to be sold. The question is it Allah the Almighty who set this standard for us? Or we have jumped the standard that God has set for us, and we are looking at a different standard? There are people who go to the extreme end of even stealing human hair. I believe you might have seen a lot of them, on social media. People steal wigs. Now, if you blame God, you blame Allah the Almighty for not having money to go and buy a wig or to go and buy the human hair, I think you'll be blaming for the wrong reason, because in the definition of Allah the Almighty, He has given you what is good for your beauty. And here, not the beauty that we have set for ourselves, but then the beauty that Allah the Almighty has, you know, created for us. Now, among the men, sometimes at a certain age, some, as a result of hereditary, we begin to lose hair, but that is fine. According to the beauty that Allah the Almighty has set for us, standard. But then some go to the extra mile to implant hair. So you may have a portion of your nape, your back of the head cut, and then they take each hair with the follicle and then, implant it. To have almost like 1 inch square of hair implant, I tell you, if you don't have more than $10,000, you are joking. You cannot have it done. And some of these things don't even guarantee that it's going to be perfect. At the end, it might lose again because it's almost like you're planting on a land which has lost its, you know, nutrients already. So you may apply something on it, but then later on, it might go again. Now let's look at the eye. From the hair, I don't want us to go through the brain because it is complex, so complex that we cannot even understand it. But then let's look at the eye. If it is possible, if we want to know the blessings of the eye, the favor that Allah the Almighty has given to us, without reminding those of us who may have eye, problems, blindfold yourself for one day in your own house where you know where everything lies. Blindfold yourself. If you cannot do one day, just do for 1 hour and try to carry out all the activities that you do in your household just for 1 hour or at least one day. And the next time you see somebody or you see yourself, you see your eyes in the mirror, you would thank God profusely for that. People who have some kind of eye problems, surgery. And I have a friend, I should say, not only one, but then I have a friend or some people have seen who may have lost the eye completely. And in order to have a replica of the eye, which is not eye that can see, just inserted to see at least something white and black to give an impression that that eye is good. If they tell you how much they spent on getting that, artificial, replica of the eye, which cannot see, just there on that one eye, I tell you, you would cherish having two of them. Now, with the same eye, we are able to see through the sunlight. And Allah the Almighty has given us abundance of the sunlight that we don't pay for. According to the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty says we should work during the day, and in the night it is made for us to sleep. But then we have created electricity. We want to see again, even in the night. Now, look at the sunlight that Allah the Almighty has given us. During the daytime, if you want to see from a distance without any obstruction, I believe you can see almost more than 5 kilometers distance for those who have, sharp eye. In the night, what you see in most cases is not even up to 20 feet ahead of you. Now, with the advent and the introduction of electricity, let's calculate how much we pay during those hours that the sun sets, that we are supposed to relax, we are supposed to sleep, but then we want to have something extra. Let's see how much we pay for electricity. And Allah gives us the sun that we have not tapped into its energies, even 1%. There is a lot that Allah the Almighty has given to us for free through the sun. Now everybody is trying to shift to solar because it is almost like free energy. So the next time you see your bill, 10,000, 5,000, 20,000, you should multiply it at least 2 times to understand the favors of God upon us through the sunlight that we used to see. Yesterday, somebody shared a post of how much oxygen that each one of us consumes in a day. Now we come to the nose, what we use it for, inhaling and exhaling. I checked the cost, the market, cost or price for oxygen, the clinical one that is used in the hospitals. They will tell you that 1 kilo is a little around $1 or a little more of that. But for the sake of argument, let's make it 1 kilo per $1. And they tell you that in a day, we inhale thousands of liters of air. And that air that we inhale, 20% of that consists of oxygen. And out of the 20%, it is only 15% that we exhale from the oxygen that, again, we know that we take in oxygen and give out carbon dioxide. But then most of the oxygen we inhale also come back. So we use almost like 5% of the air that we breathe in, used to repair damage, cells and a lot of other things, feed the blood. And now if you quantify that 5% of oxygen from the liters, thousands of liters that we use, I can tell you that without any joke, each day Each one of us may inhale oxygen, pure oxygen, more than one of the gas cylinders that about the 25 liters for free. If you want to know how much it costs, if you have a person in hospital and they have to pay the amount of oxygen that they use, we will have idea. During COVID, of course, we have some rough calculations. So imagine if every day the oxygen that we inhale, if they were to be sold to us, how many of us will be alive? I can tell you that maybe most of us will not survive because there are times that we may not have money to buy the oxygen for ourselves, not only for ourselves, but then for ourselves and our families, your wife and children. Man, where will you get the money to buy this? But then Allah the Almighty has given all these things to us for free. There are people that sometimes we consider so lucky. We see them and we think they have everything. But then some of them are on life support. They depend on this oxygen and the families are paying. Sometimes it gets to a point that the family says, no, they should allow the person to die because the whole money that this person or the family have, the money is going down the drain. So look at how merciful Allah the Almighty has been to us. For which reason he says, if you count the blessings of Allah, you would never be able to number them. From the nose, let's come to the mouth, and then quickly look at the teeth. Alhamdulillah, as adults, we have 32 sets. How many of them we lost through childhood because of the formation? On the average, maybe about 8 or close to 10 of them. If you were to add to the 32, more than that. Now, if you lose one of them, for some reasons, those who may have some kind of a tooth problem and either they have to refill or have some, implant or transplant, or no matter how you might call it, just one. I believe some of us listening to us may have idea how much it costs. Just one. So if you multiply one by 32, you kind of appreciate the favors of Allah upon us. All these things and many things that we cannot even talk of. If you go inside the intestines, the lungs, the heart, the blood, imagine a person who is sick and needs blood transfusion. Just 1 liter, how much it costs. This is something that scientists have tried over the years. They have tried every means to create blood, but they have never been able to create it. Allah the Almighty, in fact, each one of us, if you ask the scientists, we have at least more than 1 gallon in our system, or even more than two, or in some cases, more than 2 gallons in our system running through every day for free. So I want us to reflect and sometimes stop this complaint that we make, which has rendered some of us extremely ungrateful in the sight of Allah the Almighty, that we never see what Allah the Almighty has done for us because of some standards that we have set for ourselves. You see, sometimes during an event, all of us are guilty. Before an event, we begin to plan what to wear. You'll be thinking of the shirt you want to wear, the kind of shoe you want to wear. And you set some kind of expectation for yourself. Now, you may try, in most cases, go outside the ordinary to get those dress, shirts, suit, or whatever you call it, to fit what you think is deserving of that occasion. It is not as if you don't have more. You already have more, but then you want to change. In most cases, we say you want to change your wardrobe. You go that extra mile, you spend extra, either you import or you prepare whatever. After the event, call those that you taught, you impress them with your dress and ask them, what is the color of the dress I wore today for that event? In most cases, they don't care. They never even thought of it. They never even, reflected that you have made any change in your dress. So you see, sometimes we impose some kind of burden onto ourselves for no reason, and we blame God. So why should we worry ourselves with some standards, trying to please people who might not even know, who might not even realize what we are trying to project to them? If you think about all these things, there's only one thing we can say, just like Allah the Almighty says, man is ungrateful. Very ungrateful. Because we leave what we have and we eye those things that we think we should get. And as soon as we get those, we change the equation. The prophets of God, the righteous people before us, like Jesus Christ said, that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That is the condition that they found themselves in. The standard that they had over there. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is reported that the very day he died, there was nothing to cook in his household. And there were many times that they have to go through, hunger. Sometimes people might look at you and they ask you, why don't you have this? Why are you not? You see other people have this, why are you not having? Tell them what you have that others also don't have. Because there are a lot that Allah the Almighty has given us. Even the fingernails that most of us cut it, we find it like troubling that we cut it every now and then. Those who care to do extensions, they will tell you how much they spend. There are a lot. Most of these are things that we have imposed on ourselves. And it is the very reason that I'm trying to let us understand that if we want to be grateful to Allah the Almighty, we have to work within the standards of Allah the Almighty. Allah says that when we pray, we should pray for good in this world and also good in the hereafter. So it is not wrong to work. If you are a farmer, it is not wrong to work to feed your family. No matter which work you do, once it is legitimate work, do it, but then work within the standard that Allah the Almighty has set for us. Do not overly impose on yourself things that, will break your back, and then you again complain. As I said, sometimes the very people that we fight for, the very people that we want to leave certain things for, they care less about those things because by the time that they grow, that standard that we thought was good, they don't have that, they have no clue. Those of us who are about 30 to 40, and let's imagine if our fathers, our parents, during their time, the kind of phone they had, if they bought some to keep for us, today we would not have any use for those phones. Think of the best phone you can think of today and buy it for your child who is 3 years, and wait if by 10 years or 15 years to come, they would even look at that phone. So what are we fighting for? Allah the Almighty says, as believers, as Muslims, there are a lot that we can count and be grateful for. And then once we are grateful, then he is going to give us the other standards, the other level that we might not even think of because our understanding is so short. Our level of knowledge about what we need and what we don't need, we don't even know. Because as I speak now, I don't even know how much oxygen I'm going to use for the next 1 hour. So if I want to set a target for myself and I say, okay, maybe I'm going to use 15 liters, it is possible. When you sleep, what you might consume will be maybe more than 15. So let Allah's will be in our lives. And sometimes stop the unnecessary complaints that we use, to bother ourselves and also bother our loved ones. May Allah the Almighty bless us. May we live within our means and always be grateful for whatever Allah the Almighty has given us. Because if we are not grateful, Allah the Almighty says there is a punishment. That punishment could be that whatever we had, which we never cherished, he might take it away from us. Just like we have seen some examples in the past years, some freedoms, the freedom to walk around without anything covering your mouth and your nose, which we never took it serious. All those freedoms were taken away. And now I believe we know how valuable those moments are in our lives. May Allah bless us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.